Well, amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. Says, how we doing? Good morning. All right. I love that, man. Brock, thank you so much. You know, God is not into behavior modification. Amen. That's more of what we do in this society is we want to help to change behaviors to get people to see and get people better. Amen. But, man, God wants a heart transplant. He wants heart change. Amen. Glory to God. So thankful, man, for how God kind of took us through this whole pattern of where we kind of started to where we are now, where we're ending up. And so just honored to stand before you and to speak from Proverbs, the book of wisdom. But before I do that, what I'd like to do is I'd like to invite a very special person up to the stage, person who I love dearly. She's my first child. Virginia, come on up. I told her I was going to... Is one of these mics on? I got the orange one, if that matters. So I asked Virginia to come up, and I told her last week, I said, hey, I'm going to need your help next Sunday. And I didn't tell her what it was. I didn't tell her what she was going to be doing, so she has no idea. Far as she knows, I could go sit down, and she's going to preach this morning to you. But I didn't tell her what she was going to be doing. But there's something that we do in our home. We've done it over the years with our children. I think we started this fight with Virginia ever since she could begin to talk. But Stacy or myself, we ask them one simple question. And the question that we ask them is, we say, who are you? Right? We say, who are you, Virginia?
A God girl, a world changer, a light of this world, a leader, and a light.
Okay. This is what we do in our home. Now, there's a reason why we do that, and we're going to get into it as we begin to talk out of Proverbs. But we do that because, thank you so much. Appreciate you. Don't worry about all the people. This is just me and you talking. All right. Thank you so much. Now, all of our children, the ones that can talk, they have a who they are statement. And it's important to do that because I'm one that is a believer in words. And the words that we speak, the words that we speak to one another, and then the words that we speak over ourselves. Because when we look at Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, we see a lot of words in that scripture. We see the word death, obviously. We see the word life. We see the word tongue, and we see the word it. But the word that stuck out to me the most was the word power. And sometimes we don't think that a small thing, being a coach, and this is kind of the coach's corner this morning, we look at things from a standpoint of, man, what size is an individual? How big are they? Because we equate in our society, we equate size with some type of power, correct? We think the bigger you are, the more powerful you're going to be. But what we learn in the book of James is that even though the tongue is a small instrument, one of the smallest instruments on our body, it carries really big weight and power. And it goes on, if you could just turn there with me for a second, because I feel like we need to get the description. Because before we get into the tongue, it talks about a ship and how a ship is controlled by a small rudder. A very small rudder controls a big ship. And then it talks about how a fire is set ablaze by a small piece of kindle that can come from the tongue. And if you go with me to James 3 and 6, it says, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among the parts of our bodies. It pollutes the whole body, sets the course of life, all fire, and is set on fire by hell. Every creature, animal, bird, reptile, or fish is tamed. And has been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and our Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth come blessings and curses. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Does a spring pour out sweet and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree produce olives, my brothers and sisters? A grapevine or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can be salt water or spring yield fresh water. So we see the enormity of the tongue and how the tongue can bring forth death or life. And that scripture in Proverbs 18:21 speaks for itself. We see what the tongue can do, and we know that as big as we are as people, and God has given us authority over every creature, over everything, to have authority over the earth, but no man is able to tame the tongue. We can tell our dogs or our cats or whatever animals that we have to go sit down and go do this, and they'll listen to us, and they'll sit when we ask them to sit. But our tongue is not so. So I'm not here to go down the road of why that is. What I'm here to do is that, hey, we need to do almost a spring cleaning effect. Because this is the thing, and I love this because God lines everything up, right? The same thing Brock talked about, all I'm going to do is just add on to what he's already said. We haven't got to the point to where we are just simply because, oh man, it's just who we are. It's because we have to go and identify what have we concealed and put into our hearts. And when I talk about the heart right now, I'm not talking about the heart that's in our chest, but I'm talking about the heart of our mind. What have I put into my mind to allow me to speak the way that I speak? And what I was taught at a very young age in my upbringing as a Christian was, I was always told by a pastor, they were like, Brother Kemp, you have to protect your gates. Mm-hmm. We all have gates. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We have an eye gate, we have an ear gate, and we have a mouth gate.
That's right.
And we have to protect it.
Come on.
Because if we don't protect it, that's where things begin to settle into the hearts of our mind. See, when there was a time when, man, I couldn't stop watching pornography. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, man, if this makes anybody uncomfortable, but it doesn't bother me. So it shouldn't really bother you because I'm the one up here telling on myself.
Speak the truth.
I'm the one up here being transparent, so it shouldn't really bother you guys. But when I was addicted to pornography and pornography had me, my eye gates was like, whoa. How did that happen? And how did that? And so it set a movie already in my mind. So it could have been a thing where I could have watched it on Tuesday, but guess what? The following Tuesday, if I didn't watch it, that thing was still in my mind.
That's right. That's right.
And so out of that image of my mind, I began to speak certain things, and I began to say certain things. And it didn't produce forth any life. It was only producing forth death, and it was my own spiritual death. I was committing homicide against myself spiritually, because I wasn't protecting my gate. Mm-hmm. And then another aspect of this was, you know, Brock talked about, man, what you begin to learn out of Proverbs is not only what you shouldn't do, but you learn who maybe I shouldn't be hanging out with. Mm-hmm. And so at that time, a group of friends that I used to hang with, we were down, right? We used to kick it and chill and do all those things we probably shouldn't be doing. But in that process, I wasn't protecting my ear gates because the conversations that we have, they wasn't uplifting to my spirit.
Come on, come on.
And so then I would resonate on the conversations long after we had had them. So I wasn't protecting my gates the way I needed to. So now my eye gates were being polluted. My ears were being polluted. And then I was polluting my mouth because now that's what was going into my heart. And we know that because Brock told us this morning, Luke 6:45 says, out of the abundance of a man's heart, the mouth speaks.
That's right. That's right.
And so if we're around somebody, and I was a guy who didn't have a lot of tact, and I just spoke, right? But that's what was in my heart. And I equated it to being real. Man, I'm real, man. When you talk to Kent, man, you're going to get the realness. I'm going to be real with you. No, I just didn't have tact. And what it began to fester in my heart was a lot of anger. Mm-hmm. I was ashamed. I was self-conscious. I felt small before people because I needed to be validated. And when I didn't get it, I got upset about it. But those were the things that were going into the heart of my mind. Amen?
Amen.
And so I had to go through the process of restoration. Yes, I'd been restored through Christ Jesus, but I still had to restore my mind because we all know, man, yeah, you can get saved, right? But I don't wake up the next morning and everything else is gone. So I had to go through the process and I had to recondition my mind. I had to go through the reconditioning process similar to what pro athletes do when they're getting ready for a season. They have to recondition themselves because when you're in the off season, you don't do a lot. You kind of sit back, you got your feet up, man, working out is the last thing that you want to do. And so when you know you're about 2 weeks away from training camp, you start to kind of get yourself back in the mindset of, okay, man, I need to get up early, I need to start doing these things. But if I've never done that before, I'm like, well, man, how do I do this? There's a scripture in God's word that we all know and that we understand. It's in John 15. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, listen, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, he says, you can ask for whatever you want. And I took that scripture and I took that statement and say, man, okay, Jesus, I know that you're in me, but how do I get your words to abide in me? See, when I started preaching, man, and I know God had given me a gift, man, there was a pastor that says, listen, Brother Kemp, all you got to do is just speak the word. Matter of fact, what she said was, it was speak the word only. Because a lot of times when you get up and speak, we'll speak out of our flesh, we'll speak out of our situation, our circumstance, and that's a great testimony. But when we really want transformation and we really want restoration, man, I don't have the words to give you that. But Christ says, "Is my words abide in you."
Yes.
So, Lord, how do I get my words to abide in you? How do I get your words to abide in my heart in such a way that that is what's being spoken and not what I want to speak from my flesh? Joshua 1 and 8 talks about it. Joshua 1 and 8 says what? One of the really great commands that God gave a leader, and this was Joshua. Joshua was taking over for Moses. Man, he's going to be leading the people of Israel into the promised land, right? And really, Joshua, man, he was kind of like, man, I don't really know if I really want this or want to do it. But, man, he was obedient. And he was like, okay, because he had learned. He had probably learned what to do for Moses and what not to do, right? Because that's what we do, right? We learn. But what God told him in the first chapter, verse 8, is not only the same for him, but it's the same for us. And he tells, he says, this book of the law, meditate on it day and night. Notice he didn't say read it. He said meditate on it. We've all read the word, right? We've all had the warm and fuzzies, man. We read something, we're like, yeah, because guess what? When I'm reading a certain passage, I'm not thinking about me. I'm thinking about Stacy. Yeah, I got to go give that to Stacy. She needs to hear this. Y'all can laugh. It's okay. Stacy's not up here right now. I know when to say something and when not to say it. But that's what we do. But he told Joshua, because he knew that Joshua had the books of the law with him. They were in the Ark of the Covenant. He said, listen, it's not just good enough for you to read it and for you to carry it in the Ark of the Covenant. I need you to meditate on this day and night, because he knew once you begin to meditate on the word of God, it begins to seep into you.
Amen.
And that's how the word begins to abide in you.
Yes.
And if you're a young Christian today, what I want to encourage you is to do this. We have three gates. We have an eye gate, our mouth gate, and our ear gate. One of the best lessons I learned as a young Christian was, hey, when you read the word of God, read it out loud. You need to hear yourself saying the word. You see yourself reading the word, and then it becomes to dwell in you and abide in you in such a way that that's all that you speak. And then people look at you crazy because they say, well, man, all this is going on around you. How can you just say this? Well, it says in God's word that if I be in my mind, it's for your sake. But if I be out of my mind, it's for Christ's sake. And we got to be out of our mind about this word and about speaking this word, because it's only the word that's going to conquer evil. It's not Kemp, it's not you, it's not this flesh, it's the word of God. This is why Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, because he was the word. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are speaking spirits. Our Father, who we are made in the likeness of and in his image, and we should bear some resemblance, brothers and sisters, because when he spoke the word, he spoke the world into existence. He didn't have a direction that he went by and said, well, you got to put A5 into A6. He simply hovered over the sea and he spoke us into existence. And I will say this, many of us have spoken to existence our own circumstances and situations. We've spoken into existence. Our hurts, our fears, our triumphs, our victories, and our successes, we've spoken them into existence. We have to go through the restoration process, because death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The meditating on the word is an important process, because why? We were all given a seed of the word of God that's been planted in us. The seed of faith has been planted in all of us. As God told Joshua to meditate on this book of the law day and night, to be careful to do what is therein, and he said, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. God wasn't talking about material prosperity. He was talking about soul prosperity. He was talking about spiritual prosperity. He was talking about having success, walking and bearing the image of the one true God. The meditation process is the watering of that seed. The seed has been planted in all of us, and it's there. And for some of us, and I know for me, it was lying dormant for a long time. But it wasn't just simply reading the word, but it was me meditating on the word throughout my day, throughout my night. Jesus told the children of Israel back in Deuteronomy, he says, listen, these commandments, just don't say them and just don't do them. But he said, think on it when you get up. Think on it when you're sitting with your children. Think on it when you're at your table and you're eating. Think on it when you're out there at your job working. Think on these things. Think on his word, meditate on it day and night, and you will begin to see the transformation that you need, to where now you're not getting upset the way others get upset. Come on. You're not speaking death in a situation that others do. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be different, because it's going to be a shock to your system if you've never done it. It's going to be a shock to your system to say, hey, man, it's storming outside, but you're going to say, man, no, it's really sunny. It's going to be a shock to your system, and it's going to make you feel a little bit uncomfortable, and it may even make you feel a little bit embarrassed at first. But this is what our Father did, and I want to not just simply be in the image of my Father, but I want my Father's characteristics. I want to walk and speak as my Father spoke. As my elder brother spoke, when the storm came and they went to go wake up Jesus down at the bottom when Jesus was sleeping, and he got up, he simply spoke to the storm. And he spoke, peace, be still. And guess what? The storm had to listen. Amen. Because there was power in Christ's tongue. There was peace in him, so that's what he spoke. He was peace because he was the word. And if he abides in us, saints, and his words abide in us, then we can do the same thing. It says it in scripture. We have to utilize the resources that man gave us. Some of y'all ain't even awake. We have to utilize the resources that God gave us. The resource that he gave us was his word, and it was our mouth. He's given us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. Our mouth can either justify us or it can condemn us. But know this, as it says in Matthew 12 and 36, 37, every idle word we will have to give an account for on the day of judgment. We're going to have to give an account for that. And I don't say that, man, scary boogeyman type stuff. I don't. But, man, I've heard that when I was little, but when I read it in Scripture, and I really believe this. The reason why that's being said is that God is saying, I've given you all the resources so that your words will be flavored with salt and that it would never lose its savor. We thank God so much for his word, and we thank God so much for who he has called us to be. And we thank God for the power that is in the tongue. Amen.